Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Childcare Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson here with Lisa Murphy, and Annie Friday is back with us by popular demand.
Woohoo!
Meaning she's popular with me and I demanded that she come back. So how you both doing?
I'm good.
Good,
yeah,
good.
Very good. Good.
It's groovy. Almost the end of the year. I don't know when this is going to air, but.
This is going to air Monday.
Oh, well then, yeah. So it's Thanksgiving week by the time you hear this. And I wonder where all the time has gone, quite honestly, but that's a whole other conversation.
Time goes too damn fast. And speaking of time going fast, Annie, last you were on the show, you were opening a new program. We said we were going to check in with you in a while to see how things are going. How are things going?
Great. I mean, good. They're going. They are going. It honestly feels like we spoke yesterday and it was July. And if I only knew in July, all the things I know now, right?
Right. So, hindsight 2020.
So you had an opening day. There were children there, and proceed from there. What's it like? What have you learned?
You know, what's funny about our opening day and very typical childcare fashion, sometimes when you are coordinating with people like licensors who have different timelines than you, it was a little crunch at the end. We went like from hearing from our licensor every day to not hearing from her for like 10 days and then being like, wow. Oh, what was the date you guys needed that license by? Tomorrow. So yeah, I mean, it was very 2020 in fashion. So from that moment on, it's been just go, go, go.
But that stuff has been happening forever. Back in my center opening days, I mean, we were opening in a church basement the week before we were supposed to open. I've been in touch with the health department for months because they got to come in and do a kitchen inspection and fire exits and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, yeah, no big deal. No big deal. And then like a week before we're supposed to open, the dude comes through and he's, what do you call it? And I'm anti-bureaucrat anyway. So there's a little bit of bias here, but he's a dick. And
he had a clipboard.
As far as I'm concerned, anybody with a clipboard, total dick, although I've got 8 clipboards right off of camera here. And he comes in and, you know, he got the industrial gas stove with the griddle and everything. And he doesn't like the hood. Now the hood is exactly what the restaurant stove guy said. And this company's business is putting in these kinds of stoves with the right vents and everything. And so it ended up being worked out very quickly because I put the bureaucrat guy in touch with the capitalist guy who installed the stove, and they sorted it out. But it was panic attack for Jeff for about 48 hours there because this dude who could have been there 8 weeks before and done the same thing was there at the last minute.
And not to beat the dead stove horse, but I got a story for that. When we opened our childcare center, we didn't even have a commercial kitchen. We didn't have, I mean, it was like your house kitchen. It had a stove just to cook Play-Doh. I mean, it wasn't anything fancy.
The Play-Doh stove.
It was a Play-Doh stove, right? You know, and they told me I needed a commercial grade hood. And I'm like, we're not even cooking in here. And so we had to, same thing, that last scramble before you open the door, got the big dudes in there installing a, you know, a hood that's bigger than the kitchen itself. Oh, it was crazy. But I'm like, fine,
you turn whatever. It on, it's like a jet engine. Like the salt and pepper shaker on the other side of the kitchen gets sucked up into the vent on those suckers. Yeah, it's horrible. So what else did you experience, learn, do, Annie?
Yeah, we had some of those moments. We had a moment where there was no outside space that was deemed appropriate for our kids, you know, and then suddenly, luckily, all of a sudden the light was shined on the fact that a parking lot could be a playground if you make sure it's not a place where cars will be driving at the same time.
Okay, that
seems basic.
And so how did the powers that be decide that happens? Was a couple orange cones at the entrance enough, or did they need you to put up fencing?
We have plastic orange fencing and a little sign that says do not enter. It's a very secondary parking lot. It would take a lot of effort to
get there,
randomly find it. Yeah.
You didn't have to put down one of those wood things and have some guy standing under the clipboard, crossing the border into Bulgaria during World War II or something.
Yes, exactly. Something very similar. Of course, now we had the snowplow guys come by yesterday, and they are not happy that they might have to move some plastic orange cones every once in a while. So, you know, there's always something new.
Well, snowplow guys, I mean, it's hard to keep, you know, you're in your snowplow, you're out at 5:30 in the morning, you got the pickup with the blade on it, you've got a beer between your legs. You don't want to have to get out of your nice warm truck cab
I'm actually impressed that they didn't just plow right through it, right? Like it was so small, they didn't even see it.
Yeah, they were using our lot as a practice ground. Like clearly it's a brand new snowplow driver, and the veteran snowplow driver met him and they got in, and they were obviously not near the kids, but you drive with force when you are trying to plow snow. And it was a little bit like, really? Like right now this has to happen? So anyway,
little Billy is now in the snowplow. The little kid is, yeah. Billy.
Yes, loud noises, kids, scary. But yeah, we got opened. We got licensed. We got a playground. We have been nonstop though. I mean, you know how it is. And so many things can't be planned for when you're working with children. And even just the use of space, like you can't predict how kids are going to always use the space, how you want to lay out the space. You know, it takes classroom teachers, I think, sometimes years to get everything set. And so it felt like we were professional furniture movers for a while, constantly like, let's try this shelf here, you know, and then we're in a church space also. So then it was like, okay, the church might be coming back to in-person and we want to try and, you know, can you move these tables to accommodate our coffee and donuts? And then pandemic constantly, like, are we doing enough to provide enough space for all the kids to be far apart and eat without masks on in a safe area? And so, yeah, every time a parent walks in, they're like, it looks different. Like we literally change something every day.
So how are the parents and kids dealing with it? Everybody settling in?
Yeah, settling in. I think the pandemic had some extra growing pains of trying to figure out, you know, changing day to day based on what our health departments and our numbers look like. And we originally weren't going to have kids wear masks and then quickly realized that inside they really need to wear masks. And then outside they weren't wearing masks. And then our numbers got really bad here and we need to wear masks. And some families, you know, had a problem with that. And so it was a lot of navigating what some people see as family culture versus community health and safety. And I love that you're shaking your head saying, no, they don't. Cause yeah, I mean, it's freaky and it's freaky being responsible for all of these people and not just the kids, but also their families and their grandmas and whoever else they're seeing and being in the middle of a pandemic and being like, am I the one that's gonna kill grandma over Thanksgiving? I don't know.
Well, that's a great, thanks for putting that picture in everybody's mind, Annie, dead grandma on Thanksgiving. That'll be great.
I mean, I think it's what's going through every child care director's mind, right?
Sure.
Like, our schools are closed, but we're open. We have kids up to 12 years old. So that's another thing too, with the pandemic, like some families have chosen us just because they need somewhere for their kids to go, not because they believe in student-led learning or, you know, the philosophy that we believe in. We have people who are here because they're essential workers and they need their kids to be able to be somewhere consistently, and we can't close down for them. And there's just a whole set of things.
Sure. But some of those, yeah, and I get it, but some of those things don't exist other places during, even during this time. I mean, here schools are open. Locally schools have been, they started out going kind of, a little bit online, a little bit of in person. And then most of them went to full in person. We had one of the middle schools had kind of an outbreak. So they went to, back to the partial online, and then I think full online for like a week, and then backed off, but without shutting down the whole damn school district. What's going on in Florida, Lisa?
We had a parent protest the other night of parents don't want the kids to wear masks in some of the schools. It's really interesting how different it is by district, by district, by district.
Sure.
And I think I'm only really paying attention to it, probably honestly more than I would, but because Pablo's boys are in school. So it's, you know, we're always kind of listening, like what's going on in that county, what's going on in that county. They still are able to choose, right? They're still able to have, the kids could either be all at home or do hybrid, or all at school or hybrid. And so mm-hmm. one of the kids is doing the all at school and the other one is doing the hybrid one. And they do have to wear masks when they're on site. But they're also in high school. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
I was going to ask, is the one that's doing the hybrid doing it because, you know, who wants to get up and go out?
I actually think the one doing it hybrid is because he has a girlfriend. I honestly think that's why.
If he didn't have a girlfriend, he'd have to actually show up at school and hunt for a girlfriend.
There you go.
And the other thing about being open here, it's not like there's a, Annie was talking about killing grandma at Thanksgiving a second ago. I'll go a little bit darker. We do not have parades of child-sized caskets walking down the street to the cemetery here. Everybody's living their life, but that's the beauty, I guess, of living in a federated republic where all these states get to make their own choices. Some states are choosing one thing and some are choosing the other thing. And now we're going into, we got states going into curfews, which is such total bullshit, as if a pandemic, as this virus kind of gets a little bit worse at dark time. What the hell? What that means is everybody's going to be crowding into the bars and restaurants and grocery stores earlier in the day, so social distancing is going to be reduced. And fuck that, and fuck those bureaucrats who are fucking with people's lives. That's just my opinion.
Just speak from the heart, though, Jeff. Really, we want you to be honest.
Well, I'm holding back a little bit, so you know.
Sure you are. And so, I'm glad you went darker than me. I didn't want to leave it with
didn't
the
want
darkest.
To be the
we didn't want
one
to be the dark one this time.
So let's move beyond all this COVID stuff for a while, because I think people are. I mean, people are tired of it, I think. I mean, I am. Maybe they're not. But so as far as play goes and the kind of program you want to run in the world we're living in, is it looking like you want it to look?
Good question. No, not at all. I mean, there's so much. There's just so much more to think about. And we have not, you know, I've seen other people in other states or other places who have like little organized toy boxes, and that's all you get to play with today, Sally. And Jack has his own set of toys, and we don't have that going on. But we have to be really, we've been more thoughtful about limiting who's where and when and how many people are close to each other, and just kind of kicking out those reminders every once in a while. So yeah, the play is more limited. But for the most part, yes, like it is giving these kids the sense of community they have been longing for. I think actually because so many of them had been home for so long prior to this and in limited community for a while, it was really interesting to see, like, it was kind of pandemonium, like all of a sudden having these 20 kids together, you know, and we have 25 kids at most on any given day. And they just were kind of going buck wild. Like the art room was every day. I was like, how do we do this? Like we're picking up so much. And there's just, it was, people were going wild and crazy. And
But did they acclimate then with like, was that, that wave of like, oh my God, this is so new. This is different. And have they come back to.
Yeah. So we're just getting to that stage, I feel like. So I think typically in self-directed programs, they say it takes a year for, I've read or heard, I don't even know where this came from, a year, a week for every grade level. So like a sixth grader, it takes 6 weeks to kind of deprogram, de-school before they can truly start leading themselves on their learning journey. So I forget where we are now, like week 10 or 11. And we really did see a shift in week 6 where like all the kids, our biggest kids are sixth graders, started to kind of get that, like, you know, for those first weeks, we had so many kids right on our heels. Like, what do I do now? What do I do now? What can I do now? Where's my worksheet? Where's my math book?
So it was a detoxing process.
Such totally. A detoxing process. Yeah. And even my partner, she has not been in play-based or student-led environments as much. I mean, just in early childhood, I've had that opportunity. She's been more elementary. And just for us even, it was like a detoxing, a deprogramming of like, we don't have to be the center of attention and the focal point all the time.
We would see that, especially in the family childcare days. We'd have a kid that we raised up from being pups. I mean, in the program from infancy, and they grow up playing and playing and playing, and then they go off to school and come back during Christmas break or the summer. And the first month is them waiting for me to tell them what to do when they spent 5 years of their lives not needing that before they went off to the indoctrination centers. So, It is a totally real thing, and I'm glad you're getting to the point where they're coming out of that. That's got to take a lot of pressure off of you.
Yeah, it's huge. It's been huge. You know, it's just funny. Like even the first rainy day was like, it was literally our first week was a rainy week, which was weird because we had had like solidly good weather, and all of a sudden it was chilly and rainy, and a lot of the kids aren't used to being outside, especially older, and so. One day it started raining. It was like a light drizzle. And I'm out on the playground with like 15 kids. And all of a sudden big kids come running out from inside yelling, everybody get inside, it's raining. And I'm like, did I miss like a big strike of lightning? Like what just happened here? Like, why is everyone going inside? Like, it's raining. Yeah, a little bit. And we're all wearing raincoats and like having a good time still. So yeah, even those little moments, it's like, oof, we've got some de-schooling to do before we can really have fun.
It's reminding me of a, I don't want to say a bit, because it's not like a bit, but one of the things that I would say a lot is that teachers often lament that when we say, go play to children, and they look to us as a little like, well, what do you want me to do? And what is it time to do? And what do you need me to do? But yet often the teachers experience the same thing. Like, and I think you and your partner are probably experiencing a little, now you're finally in a place where we can say, go facilitate. And we're like, and you have these older children kind of jumping into the teacher quote unquote role that you guys are trying, you know, to shed that control piece. And yeah. How interesting it might've been, this is my nerd brain talking. If you had done any kind of data collection or observation to where this could be a paper of some sort.
Yeah, it is interesting. And that's something that we talked about at the beginning and then, yeah, hit the ground running and never really gathered any pre-test data kind of thing. But yeah. But
probably anecdotally, I think anecdotally, there still definitely would be an article in here.
Absolutely. There's so much. The shift has been just visceral, like just feeling it. Inside that there's, yeah, it's just been amazing. And we still have a couple of, you know, families who think they're all on board and then they send their, you know, third and fourth and fifth graders in with a spreadsheet they've created together. You know, the kid had the idea of what they want to get done in a day. And I'm like, and you see it, then it reverses them for a few days. And they're like back at that, like, what do I do now? Or they do something and then they bring it to you and want the reaction, right? And looking for that performance piece of like, mom, hey, look what I did.
Who is the spreadsheet kid? I've met a lot of 8-year olds. I've never met an 8-year old that's like, hey, I really need to spend some time on Excel. I really need some columns and rows, and I got to get my shit organized. I'm sure that kid is out there. I've just never met that kid, and I kind of like you because
it's that kid's grown up. I don't think that's a yeah.
Well, I mean, the world needs actuaries, right? And so, I mean, that's got to exist. But
I mean, my husband loves a spreadsheet. We had a couple of surgeries last week. My 4-year-old got tonsils out. My 6-year-old had tubes in. The next day, I had a spreadsheet on my fridge of who gave medicine and when. I was like, well, okay, this is very efficient. And I obviously, as I told you on the last time I was here, I can't even find my keys most days. So I need the systems guy. I need the spreadsheet guy. And maybe as an 8-year-old, if he knew Excel was around, he would have been doing it. But yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Speaking of your keys, I had that in my notes to ask about, have you lost your keys lately? Have you organized? Have you set up a system for your keys? What's going on with your keys,
Annie? You know, it's amazing, actually. About 3 days ago, I came downstairs and there were these like little round blue things on key rings. And I was like, what are those? And my husband reminded me that 3 years ago at our state NAEYC conference, I won a silent auction item that was this little key fob so that if you lose your keys, you can find them, kind of like find my phone app in the iPhone. So I'm finally getting them out so you can use them so we stop losing keys. So...
Well, that sounds exactly what a spreadsheet guy would do.
Exactly, right? They've been in my drawer for 3 years, and now he's finally getting them out for me.
Are these like the RFI things? They've got the radio frequency thing in there that you can track them on your cell phone?
I'm being tracked by satellites right now. Everybody knows my every move.
That's good. You better watch out if you're after you finish that Bloody Mary you're working on, you pass out on the couch for the rest of Saturday. Watch out, he doesn't come up with some sort of syringe and inject a chip into you, so he can keep track of where you are too. There might be
the
day where he knows where the keys are. He might know where the keys are, but he can't find Annie, so he'll.
Usually that means I'm like hiding in the bathtub with a bottle of wine, possibly in the closet.
But you throw the keys like down the road, right? So he thinks you're at the park.
Yes, exactly.
Decoy.
Like, where's mommy go? Like, in the closet with a bottle of tequila.
Yeah, well, hey, you gotta get through the days. These are hard times. Hey, any other thoughts on this one before we wrap up this episode?
I want to say keep up the good work. I mean, I'm very curious, but I don't want to put you on the spot. But I am curious as to whether or not have you been thrown any curveballs that were so unexpected that you kind of wish, I should have waited a little bit.
Yes, several. The first Friday of the first week, my own kids got sick. They were the first kids sick, and they spent about a month being sick. And, you know, that requires these days like COVID tests and quarantines and stuff I wasn't prepared for personally. And then there's also just the fact that nobody else is there to answer to. So when something happens, you know, every other program I've worked in, I've walked into a functioning functioning program sometimes, but a program that had infrastructure, right? So a binder with every form you'd ever need so that when something happens, you go to the binder, you get the form, and now it's all on me. And I'm like, where's that form? What do I do now? Who can I call? And then also like just having the fiscal responsibility, like I'm all team free the glue, but when you're paying for the glue and you see the kid like, all of a sudden this new unexpected anxiety comes up of like, do you know how much glue you're using? And you kind of go like, maybe I want to go back to dot, 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 only one dot. Like whatever the songs are you sing for kids to control their glue use. But
have you started watering down the glue? Because yes. You totally should. Because you can totally cut that stuff. Like
it did take me a few weeks to realize that.
Or don't put the glue in glue bottles.
Right.
Let them brush it, the glue, but then put water in recycled dish soap bottles, because usually it's the squeezing that they're wanting to do. It's not really the wasting of the glue.
Yeah. But see, okay. I've got my notebook.
Write that down. Write that down.
You can fill them with, water. Sure, you can fill them with water. I like instant pudding.
It's harder to squeeze.
No, I've never done that. I just said that because I thought it would be kind of a fun thing to do.
I don't have the patience to put a whole bunch of pudding inside of a recycled soap bottle so the kids can squeeze it out. Although I have mixed together the flour, salt, and you mix together equal parts of flour, salt, and water, and then you put that in a squeeze bottle. That makes really cool puffy paint after it dries, but it's thicker to squeeze.
We've had your recipe book out quite a bit this fall, Lisa. Awesome. And it's fun because since we do have big kids in the program, they get to go through it and be like, what do I want to make today? And it's efficient for me too. I'm not the only one making Play-Doh.
Yeah. Oh, it's a sixth grader can totally make a batch of Play-Doh.
Yeah, you get those sixth graders scooping that pudding into those glue bottles too.
There you go.
That'll keep them.
It's got to be on the spreadsheet first.
Though. Yeah, I was gonna say that'll keep them away from their spreadsheets for a while.
9 o'clock, make pudding. 9:05
to 3:45. Scoop pudding into glue bottles. This has been fun, though,
to say the least. It has been really fun, and seeing the power of play, and holding back as the adult in the room and letting the kids collaborate, and it's awesome. You guys know that.
Well, I'm glad to hear. I appreciate the update.
Listeners, Annie's out there doing the scary thing, starting a program from scratch during a pandemic. Who else has got the internal intestinal fortitude? I guess you wouldn't want external intestinal fortitude. You keep the intestinal fortitude internal. Hey, get out there, live your best life, have an adventure, do the scary thing, people. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.